The very first lesson that I remember being taught as a child came with the following stern words: "You can't do that. People won't like you." It was a message that was repeated often in my childhood. It had variations. You can't wear that. People won't like you. You can't say that. You can't do that. People won't like you. From an early age, I was taught to believe that to get by in the world, being liked by other people was the ultimate goal. So rather than being told, be true to yourself, I learned, be whatever others want you to be. As this continued, things became even more complicated for me because I moved schools quite a bit as a child due to the nature of my father's work. And so it was often very hard to keep up with the pressures to fit in. I felt like I was constantly trying to adapt in the vain pursuit of being liked, losing in that process a sense of self and a sense of belonging and a sense of having any sort of genuine self-worth. I became the world's greatest people pleaser. And as I grew, I developed also into being a perfectionist. Maybe I thought if I was perfect, then I couldn't be criticized. I actually thought that being a perfectionist was a good quality to have. It's the sort of thing you might bring up in a job interview when you're asked for strengths and weaknesses. Oh, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, you know, as if it's some sort of badge of honor. What I was to learn later in life, the cruelest thing about being a perfectionist is that not only do you make unrealistic demands upon yourself, worse than that, you don't allow other people to be human. Perfectionism harms other people. Now, I've spoken about this here before, so forgive me, but I'll give a short version here. But I became quite depressed as a teenager. The way I was living, my feelings of worthlessness were compounded by a dawning realization that I might be gay, though I managed to hide all that for a long time, hide my anxiety, my sexuality, and I buried my feelings of inadequacy. And as a teenager, I turned to mind-altering substances, to alcohol and drugs, to escape my unhappy reality. Not accepting myself and turning to other substances did me a lot of psychological harm. And needless to say, by my early to mid-20s, I was very much in need of therapy. I was very fortunate to be introduced to the right people at the right time who helped me on the road to recovery. But a real moment of revelation for me in that journey came when a therapist said to me, "But Will, what are your morals?" I had no idea that morality was something that we could decide upon for ourselves. I thought that morality was absolute. It's this fixed thing that we had to live up to other people's ideals of right and wrong. I had no idea that we could choose for ourselves. What are my morals? Not what do others want me to be, but who do I want to be? And so began a long process of learning to be myself. As to learning to love myself, well, I'm not there yet, but I guess that's the goal. Certainly to be less of a people pleaser and maybe care less about what people think of me. They tell me it's none of my business anyway. Learning to accept myself and being true to myself has required on my part a good deal of prayer and reliance on a power greater than myself, a God if you like. I've lived my life in two ways. One as if there is no God, and one as if there is a God. And I know that I experience a better life when I choose to believe that there is one. When I live in faith, I have a happier life. Now, the initial idea for today's address came to me sitting at one of Pamela's meditations on a Wednesday afternoon here, and I was looking up at the wonderful Wilson Memorial window. As I looked at the window, I was struck by its universality, its totality, and I asked myself, who would I most like to be in the picture? Which window light do I feel most at home in? Discovery? Truth? Inspiration? Love? Or work? Who do I want to be? When you go downstairs for coffee later on, maybe tell someone else who you would have chosen in that window. Would you most like to be the seafaring explorer discovering new horizons? The scientist inventing new cures? Do you stand for truth? Notice how the figure of truth is the only one who looks at you directly. No matter where you are in the church, she is looking at you. What lengths would you be willing to go to stand up for what you believe is true? Is there anything you believe in so passionately that you would be willing to be persecuted for those beliefs? Or do you belong in the window of inspiration? Are you a leader? Do you have something new to say? Have you a different way of looking at the world that can inspire others? Or do you fit better in the window of love? Are you a nurturer, a carer, a comforter? Or are you in need of love, of compassion and caring? Are you bruised by situations in life and need someone to be with you in your pain and offer you solace? Or are you a worker? Do you graft with your hands? Are you a doer, an achiever? Do you get satisfaction out of completing difficult tasks? The window that speaks the most to me, I think, is the window of love. I look at the figure of Florence Nightingale giving comfort to those on the very edge of life, and I am struck by her compassion and kindness and selflessness. You see, it is in caring for others that we are often closest to God. But why is it that I find it much easier to help others than I do to ask for help when I need it? I have news for you. Today is a very short address. And I'm sorry about that. I hope you don't mind. I've had a tough week. My partner lost his mother this day last week, and we raced down the motorway all the while, not knowing if we would make it in time, and we didn't. It was the saddest week I can remember, and now the after effects of the shock, the trauma, and the grief have caught up with me. And Bridget very kindly got in touch with me during the week to check on how we were doing, and she kindly gave me the option of pulling out today. I didn't want to do that. I mean, maybe I should have. But you see, I didn't actually expect to find things this hard. I sat down to write over the last few days, and I came up empty. I thought I had an idea for reserves, and I didn't. And the more I tried to find inspirational words, the more bogged down I became. I began this address talking about my problem of being a people pleaser and a perfectionist. So standing up here today and admitting to my failure is really hard. But I actually believe that we never really have anything to fear from speaking our truth. We never do. It's written up there in one of the uppermost windows, and the truth shall make you free. And look, maybe we can go downstairs and have an extra 10 minutes with each other over coffee. If I don't use up these 10 minutes here trying to say something important, I can't. Let's use those free minutes showing each other kindness, compassion, patience, forgiveness, and with a bit of luck, a little laughter. Amen.